Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. Kia ora tātou. Welcome to this edition of Senior Focus. I'm your presenter for this edition, and I have with me a guest who's very dear to my heart, Orkeria Tameo Moutera. And Orkeria is a very experienced senior leader in aged care. Her focus is recreational therapy, and she has a national role, and she also is an educator for the National Recreational Therapy Association. Welcome, Orkeria.
Hi, Anne-Marie. How are you doing? Thank you so much for the invitation.
Well, it's a delight to have you with us. We've had you on before, but this is a new sort of angle. We're looking at, today, we're going to explore what it takes to create a meaningful end-of-life conversation.
Yes.
And this is not the narrow end-of-life kind of conversation about assisted dying. This is about maximising everybody's positive well-being at this stage of life.
Yes.
Mm. So just setting the tone and the boundaries here. So today we're going to explore advanced care planning and the role of the death doula.
Yes.
And this may be a totally new role that you haven't even heard of before, but I hope that some of you will have heard of advanced care planning. So we're going to start off by discussing advanced care planning first. What is it? How is it a pathway to creating a more positive end-of-life experience? And where do you get the tools to do it?
Definitely. Thank you so much once again for your invitation. It's great to be here with all of you. So let's talk a little bit about ACP or advanced care planning.
Mm-hmm.
Look, in New Zealand, in Aotearoa New Zealand, it's actually a process, and it's not only just like a process, something that we have to complete, but it's actually about, you know, a process of thinking, a process of discussing and planning for your future healthcare and the end of life care. So if I have to think about a simple definition, thinking about what matters to you, talking about it with your family and health professionals, and most importantly, recording your preferences for future care. We do have access to a document in New Zealand, and it's actually free and available to everyone online. But this document, it's an ongoing conversation that, in my professional view, and for what it says on the document, it needs to include how a person is reflecting on your values, your beliefs, and the goals. But also it's about understanding your current and your future health condition. Mm-hmm. It's about, for example, if you have a specific condition, learning about treatment, learning about what are the care and support options available. Super important always when we are going through this important piece is about talking with whānau and also with the healthcare team, whether it is, you know, the community GP or someone that you are already seeing through managing the symptoms of the condition. So advanced care plan is about writing down your wishes. There's a specific purpose, okay? So the main goal is to actually ensure that the care that we will be receiving, it's actually what matters the most to the person, especially for people that cannot speak for themselves later, because we never know what might happen in the future. So advanced care planning is going to be helping us to guide the decisions about the treatment, about the care. It's going to be helping us to prepare us, like prepare myself, help me to prepare my whānau for the future, Most importantly, Anne-Marie, is about helping to reduce that stress and uncertainty, particularly during serious illnesses, and how we have the opportunity to ensure that our wishes are respected at the end of life.
Well, that's very full and very succinct, you're putting it. Thank you very much. I couldn't have done it better myself. And the thing I want to stress here is that we can maximize our choices.
Yes.
Often, a diagnosis or a particular illness, a particular set of options for treatment can be a narrow focus, and it can actually reduce our sense of agency, our sense of self-esteem, our sense of being positive about our future. It can reduce us into feeling like, oh, well, I've got this label now, I'm in a box. And maybe the next step is another box. And it can really be quite a frightening kind of tunnel experience, darkening even. And whereas the concept of the advanced care plan is to shine light on the maximizing the positive things and the possibilities of giving you the best choices possible.
Exactly, yes. And look, and for example, sometimes we think about quality of life around the things that we're currently doing, like the day-to-day things, what am I doing today? And sometimes we might think about the future, but we don't visualize how the future might look like. So when we talk about advanced care plan, okay, it is a written record of the things that I wish to have. But it's about what quality of life means to you. What are the treatments that I would like to have, or maybe I don't want to have? It's about, you know, your cultural, your spiritual, your personal preferences. It's about who am I entrusting that is going to be making decisions on my behalf. What are my end-of-life preferences? For example, comfort care, the place of death. And look, advanced care plan is actually for everyone. It's not only because I am aging, I need to have it in place. You can have it in place at any time. For example, if I think about healthy people, it's about planning ahead, okay? It's for people with an identified long-term condition. It's for people with a serious illness or people almost at the end of life. But what is more importantly is that it's about having your voice heard, even if I am unable to speak in the future. That's what advanced care plan is.
Yes. And I would just like to add a little bit further to this. I like the reference to the spiritual, mental, emotional aspects, not only the physical, so that we are covering off like a Māori perspective of the four corners of the house, he whare tapawha. This model is very much a prevalent part of New Zealand healthcare practice, and it's not just something that's currently fashionable because we're on a more inclusive highway of te reo. It's to do with 40 years of training and practice that's that model's been adopted to be able to broaden out compassion towards ourselves and who do we trust. Who will have compassion for us in tight corners, in situations where our choices may be more limited than we would like? How could those choices be slightly broadened? And I think of a couple of examples. One is access to music. Because music has such powerful therapeutic effects, music that you resonate to, that you are empathically wired to, this music, if you have available to you, on some sort of device while you're in care, while you're maybe not able to make decisions. This music could be very instrumental in how you recover.
Definitely. And look, and that's exactly what quality of life is. It's, you know, making sure that people understand your preferences and things that are a necessity for your health and well-being. And even if this means the end of life, but it's about dying well.
And the second example I was going to give was one of the importance of touch. Our tactile senses may be our best kind of therapeutic, compassionate avenue for exploring things. And sometimes when we don't have a lot of human contact or as much as we need, then having something tactile with us can be very powerful. Like, I know people have had favorite cushions, favorite scarves. These fabrics, they can cuddle, they can have close to them, and it can remind them of people they, in whose company they enjoy. The difference of having something colourful, something tactile that you can have in front of you, with you, if you're a visual person or a kinetically fine-tuned communicator, then these things can be very powerful indeed.
Yes, definitely. Super important, particularly when you're talking about compassionate touch. Our skin is the largest organ, and it is important that people are aware if you prefer someone, you know, giving you a hug, giving you a hand massage. It is important that you write all those things on your ACP. And just also before I forget, Amory, people can either go on the internet browser and they can just type advanced care planning, or they can go directly into the website, which is www.myacp.org.nz, and they will be able to read more about what advanced care planning is and to download the information. So it's open, it's free, and it's great to always have the choice and to be informed about it.
And it's, as you pointed out, it's a process, it's a living document, so it can be added to and amended. As your knowledge and awareness grows, you might see someone else implement their plan, and you might think of, oh, wow, I never thought of that. I'd like to have that in my plan. And so you have the capacity to make these changes.
Yes, exactly. So it's, you know, it's just a wonderful document that we have available in New Zealand.
And I'd like to raise the issue of its legal status, because I understand there are opinions, and this document is actually backed by Te Whatu Ora Health New Zealand, so it's part of the mainstream system. It's not just a fancy idea of a few academics on the side. So in terms of practitioners, what would you recommend people do to strengthen the legal status of their document if they want their document to be enforced, to be in practice applied, particularly if they lose their faculties or they lose their capacity to be conscious?
Yes, I think, look, this is why it's super important that people are clear that advanced care planning is not only for when you are preparing after you have received a diagnosis. I think there's a lot of power on having earlier conversations in life. And for example, I mean, I'm thinking about myself. Okay, so I don't have children. I'm only in New Zealand with my husband. If something is to happen to my husband, and if I am to develop dementia, for example, I'm already having those conversations. I'm already identifying who perhaps might end up being my EPOA or enduring power of attorney. What are the things that I really would like to have? available for me? Who are the people that perhaps the enduring power of attorney can talk to? It might be a friend, it might be someone that knows me. And actually making sure that you are sharing that with significant people in your life. I truly believe in the power of having those earlier conversations instead of waiting for when you probably are not able to speak. So probably that will be my answer. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so I wouldn't be able to speak around the legality and how that works. But I know a lot of people that were able to complete advanced care planning earlier in their life and to have open and honest conversations with significant people in their lives. And everything that they wanted actually was respected at the end.
The longer something is in existence, the more likely it is to be taken seriously. It's just kind of like a Murphy's Law, but that's why you can't start early enough, really, in some respects,
yeah.
Because it becomes something that's on your file within the digital health system.
Yeah.
It's held by your GP, and because it's available digitally, if you go to hospital, it can be accessed.
Mm-hmm.
And from the legal perspective, if you have made your healthcare professionals aware of this document, and you've drawn their attention to it, you've discussed clinically in a session with them why you've got it, how it's important to you, who is your support/advocacy person / enduring power of attorney, because quite often that's a continuum. You start off with a friend who's supporting you, and then over time that person's role gets more involved, and so you decide, well, they would be a good person to have as enduring power of attorney for my health.
Yes.
So
yeah.
you then get them to sign a legal document with all the appropriate checks and balances and supports in it, and they at that point need to be very aware of your advanced care plan and how they would advocate for that plan to be enacted. And you can have those conversations. So I think all of this is all part of the journey, and it's a number of conversations. It's not something that all happens on one day.
Yes, definitely. You have to build it throughout the years. And most importantly, I mean, you have mentioned earlier about electronically, you know, accessing things. But also it's about, in these days, your digital blueprint. So if you are being outspoken about the things that you like, if you're talking to your clinicians, if you're talking to your families, if you are keeping records, then people become aware of really who you are and what are the things that they really need to respect and to follow through. So we're talking about many different values in here. We're talking about trust and integrity, and how your message is going to be upheld, how your dignity, your manner is going to be upheld at the end of life. So yeah, so hopefully that information has been useful.
Yes, and getting back to the legality side of things again, there is, if you go to the website, Advanced Care Planning, put that into Google, and up comes the website link, and you go to the website, you will find there's a document, Advanced Care Planning for the Health Workforce. And just a quick cursory look at that, there's a legal section in there, and they clarify that there is weight given to, if you have created a document of this sort and you have communicated it to health professionals, then health professionals are obliged to have the conversation with your whānau, with your support person, with your enduring power of attorney, and make sure there is some follow through and there is implementation of the plan.
Excellent.
So that is a very useful document to have a copy of, because when you're having a conversation with your GP or alternative health practitioner, you might find that person may have been trained quite a few years ago. They aren't necessarily aware of this. So
yes,
you can actually go to the CAB, and that's the Citizens Advice Bureau. Most of them have offices inside your local library, but they are widely available. There's many offices right across Auckland and indeed across the whole country. So the CAB, or Citizens Advice Bureau, actually has copies of the advanced care plan. And if they've run out, they will actually copy a copy for you from the website. They've got that capacity to print a copy out. And they would also give you a copy of the discussion about the health workforce and how it fits in with your health professional's duties.
Fantastic. I'm pretty sure the audience will appreciate all that information.
It's something that I have been following myself over the last 5 years, and I've noticed that there's more and more people aware of it, and more people are employing this as a tool, as a strategy, to focus on making sure they get the best overall plan for the future things that they're going to need the most attention being applied to, whether that's spiritual, mental, emotional, because those elements are very hard. People who don't know you, people who are health professionals in A&E, for example, who have only just met you, they can't second guess what you're going to respond to, what's going to be most powerful in your process of healing. And you can heal, even if you're in a terminal situation. Some of the uncomfortable symptoms that you're experiencing, you can have healing in those situations that alleviates pain, that alleviates a lot of discomfort, and your whole situation can be improved. But it can't happen for the best if you haven't put the planning in place.
Yes, I agree.
Now, we need to talk about the death doula role and how this fits in with advanced care planning. And this is something that people may not have heard of. What is a death doula? How do you train for this role? And how does it fit in with the advanced care plan? So these are the questions that I'm putting to you, Okedia, because you have recently trained in this field.
Yes, I have. And look, it's something that I wanted to do for a number of years, and the main reason, obviously, because of my own culture. So I am originally from Mexico, and in Mexico we don't hide from that, in the sense of, and when I say we don't hide from that, I'm saying this in a respectful way, because we acknowledge that dying is part of living. And I have always been curious in any country where I have been on how people sometimes use different words for when someone die. So, for example, people will say pass away or is no longer with us. And it was a little bit confusing for me, just because I didn't have like the clarity of what they were referring to. So I came across the dead doulas probably 2-3 years ago. There is an organization in New Zealand, which is the End of Life Dead Doulas Aotearoa New Zealand. And I decided to become a member and to be part of these meetings, just to listen to what they were saying around dead, dying, the support that were provided to families and the person dying. And what I realized is the work of the dead doula And when we were talking about advanced care plan, it's actually about working together to give people even more choice, about giving people more dignity, but at the same time, more emotional and cultural support as they were approaching the end of life. Because the process of dying is not only the person, it's the whole family. And it's actually not a clinical outcome of life. It's actually a social community event. So this isn't just about planning for death. It's actually about planning for how we want to live right up until the end. The work of the death doula is about honoring identity, whakapapa, values, and all the relationships that matter the most for people. Because once again, when we're talking about end-of-life experiences, they can actually be deeply meaningful, but they can also be quite stressful. For example, without a care plan, sometimes decisions can be unclear. Sometimes final feel unprepared. Sometimes, and you were talking about this earlier, cultural or spiritual needs can be overlooked. And then you end up with the person's voice being missing. And sometimes it's unintentional, okay? But when people have access to express their wishes, and they do this earlier, and when you have the support that is wrapped around, for example, the death doula being one of them, then the final chapter can be more calm, it can be more connected, it can be more aligned with who they are. So what is a death doula, to answer your question? Number one is a non-medical support person. It doesn't have to be a registered nurse. However, there are registered nurses or clinicians that have also trained as a death doula. But it is the person that is going to be working alongside individuals. And the final, before, during, and after death. So the role of the death doula is grounded in presence, compassion, and most importantly, practical support. So to give you an example, so the death doula might support with emotional and spiritual preparation, helping someone, the person, and the final to reflect on their life, values, what are the fears that they are facing, guiding conversations, but meaningful conversations with the final, helping them to create rituals or memory-making moments, sitting a vigil, supporting final after death. So I want to make something quite clear. They do not exist to replace clinical things, okay? They do not provide medical care or make decisions. Instead, they exist to fill the gap that clinical systems often can. And when I am saying clinical systems often cannot, I'm referring to, the human, the relational, the cultural safety responsive support that helps people feel seen and held. When I think about indigenous people, Tangatafenua, Maori Fano, I'm really thinking about how the work of the death doula actually aligns closely with, Tikanga, Wairautanga, and the collective that they have as they approach to caring for that moment. But at the same time, it's about the legacy of the person. It's about storytelling. Or in some cases, it's simply about not being alone when we think about people that are on their own in New Zealand. So yes. How do these two work together? It's more about creating that holistic and that person-centric approach.
And on that note, we have to wind down. I think we have to have you back, and maybe it's the subject of a panel discussion in the future.
Sure.
I think we can do more on this topic. Thank you very much for your input today, and to our listeners, we look forward to having you with us next week.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Emory. You have a great day.
Yes.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/senior focus, and do note senior focus is one word.